It's easy to look at this winter's snowfall relative to last year's, but the latest snowtell map has Southwest Colorado as a ways to go to 100% of the median, right?
That is correct, yeah. The latest figure I saw just a day ago, the snowtell percentage had increased at least 10%, but still below normal for the winter season so far.
So we're at about
77%. Yeah, I think 77% was the figure I saw last night.
If I'm reading your precipitation summary correctly, it says December was at 207% of its monthly average.
That is correct.
Mm-hmm. Is January on track to pull similar above average numbers?
So far, January's pattern is quite similar. In the first month, the first week of January, we got 0.66 inches of precipitation, and that's already 75% of normal for the entire month.
Hmm. So do you anticipate it getting to the same point as December, 150, 200%, or is that wishful thinking?
too far in the future to really know. Yet December was a peculiar bookender month. We had a lot of precipitation in the first week of the month, then the middle of the month was dry, and then the end of the month, we got the rest of our precipitation.
Mm-hmm.
So much, I call it a bookender month.
Is El Nino playing some part into this?
El Nino, I think, really has opened the door for us this winter season. Right. In past years, like the very dry year we had last year, we had a very, I'll call it a static weather pattern. We had a persistent high-pressure ridge that covered the southwest, and that just shut off precipitation, especially in the last 3 months of 2017. Precipitation was only like 2% of normal over those 3 months. It was just a terrible time. In fact, for the entire winter, we only got 8 inches of snow for the entire winter of 2017, which normally it's the winter total is 36 inches, exactly 3 feet for Cortez. So it was very dry.
And we had surpassed that 8 inches in December alone, correct?
Alone, this is correct, yes. In the first week of December, we got more snow than we got all of the previous winter.
And for people who aren't familiar, how do the weather patterns of El Nino make its way into the Four Corners?
Right. What it's done is it's developed a very dynamic weather pattern. Instead of having a static pattern where the ridge is just camped over the west for weeks or months on end, we now have patterns of ridges and troughs that keep marching across North America, and that really increases our opportunities for getting precipitation. So it's been a much more changeable, dynamic weather pattern this year, giving more storms a chance to get to the Four Corners and help us out.
And we've received several days of above freezing temperatures and sunny skies in the high desert area. Is the 90-day forecast looking a bit more promising for additional rounds of snow?
Our 90-day pattern is forecasting above normal precipitation for the Four Corners and above normal temperatures also, which fits that El Nino pattern exactly.
And of course, the area is still rated as an exceptional drought by the drought monitor.
It is true, right.
And it's not just going to take one good winter to take care of this.
Right, it had to be a really wet winter to be able to catch up with everything in just one winter, right? But the previous winter season in that year was so dry, that's what threw us into that exceptional drought pattern. However, it is the area of exceptional drought over the Four Corners has been gradually shrinking over the past several months as we've gotten more precipitation. Still has a way to go before out of that weather pattern.
To start wrapping things up today, I'd like to move into some news on forecasting for the Four Corners. The Durango Herald reported Wednesday that Southwest Colorado will get its own radar. Why is this notable?
This is a very good news for the Four Corners, because the National Weather Service radars are so far away from us that they cannot see what's going on here in Cortez. We've got a weather radar in Grand Junction, one in Seligman, Arizona, near Flagstaff, and one in Albuquerque down in New Mexico. And the curvature of the Earth is such that those radars, they cannot see over the horizon up here in the Four Corners. So their respective radar beams, they pass over the four corners at like 25,000 feet up in the air. So they cannot see what's happening in the lower levels of the atmosphere here. So if we can get a weather radar here in the four corners, we can get much better coverage of weather in the lower altitudes of our atmosphere here in the four corners.
And then this would also assist in kind of like the work you're doing, for example, in tracking, let's say, last month's precipitation, would it not?
Right. Yeah. I've got instruments to record the high and low temperatures each day and the precipitation and the type of precipitation. And also being a weather spotter, I'm trained to observe the weather around me to see what's going on, types of clouds, unusual weather approaching, like thunderstorms, for example, and also what kind of precipitation is falling right now from these thunderstorms. If suddenly these storms start dropping hail, I can tell that to the Grand Junction right away, the forecast office up there, that I report to them.
One of the benefits of fixing this blind spot would be the role in preparedness when the area is dealing with floods, for example, with the burn scars that we get from the wildfires in the summer. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Right. With the radar here in the Four Corners, we'd get a much more accurate, a much more complete picture of current precipitation falling, which can tell forecasters how much rain is falling, how fast it's falling, and give them an idea that, hey, maybe this area is getting pretty heavy rain. We better put out a warning for flash floods.
Well, Jim, that's pretty exciting news. And I know for me, doing my morning weather forecasts, this will hopefully help me out too, mm-hmm. preparing people for the day. Jim, thank you so much for coming in today.
You're quite welcome.